This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
1720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Hey, everybody. The role of Patty Vasquez is now being played by Patty Vasquez. I'm talking about myself in the third person. That's not creepy at all, Vivin. Welcome, Patty.
Hello. I had an event that was previously scheduled, and I want to thank John Hansen for stepping in for the first hour of the show. By the way, sign me up for that app where I can narc on my neighbors.
Oh, come on. No.
And also, okay, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Rocky, and I think Rocky will have some thoughts on that as well. But yes, and also, when you said mandatory recess, I thought, are we making the kids do recess? Or are we making the schools have recess is the question. You can't, I mean, are we forcing, you know. Of course there should be recess.
Yes.
That's just
what is going on?
I don't know. A bunch of recess has its origins in the Greek language. Is that, can you look that up for me?
I will. I'm sure it does.
They don't want to do recess no more?
Oh, there's a lot of schools that have eliminated recess, Rocky.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's so important.
It is.
There's no way.
You gotta burn off. That's like your mom going, go out and play, right? Like you got to go burn off that energy.
Well, but it's a difference between your mom saying, go out and play, and saying, get your ass out of the house, I think is what they're saying. Is the difference.
Yeah.
We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining me is comedian Rocky Laporte. He and I are performing at Greenhouse Theater on Thursday for a wonderful fundraiser for our friends at ChildServe, along with Dwayne Kennedy. And I want to tell you a little bit now, Rocky, I think you and I feel like every single time I hang out with you, we talk about baseball. Is that accurate?
Yeah. And we got some baseball. And football, too.
And football.
Yeah.
A little bit of football. Well, I want to welcome our friend John, who, and now you're the owner of the Pistol Shrimp?
I'm the owner.
You're the owner?
I'm the owner and the
head coach.
Oh, you're the owner and head coach. You're like, you know what? I'm going to do it all. I'm going to buy a team, and then I'm going to coach it.
And I'm going to put Rocky in charge of first and third defense.
Hey, I like that.
I like that very much. Tell us a little bit about the Pistol Shrimp.
Great. Thank you. It's a summer wood bat collegiate team, and the way we kind of frame it is after the collegiate season, all the college guys go off to play summer ball.
Right.
And the most famous league in the country, if everyone thinks of the Cape Cod League, that kind of immediately comes to mind. All college guys going on to play summer ball. We play in a league called the Prospect League, which is the old Central Illinois Collegiate League. It's been around for back to the 60s. It's been rebranded and named the Prospect League. So there's 12 teams in the Prospect League. We're the newest team. We play at a Benedictine University in DuPage County.
Okay.
So our name is the DuPage Pistol Shrimp, and as you can imagine, we get a lot of questions about where the name comes from.
And a lot of teasing. I'm guessing a little bit of teasing.
A little bit of teasing, but it's actually a pretty a fun story from our perspective, because I can promise you, 12 months ago, I couldn't tell you what a pistol shrimp was. Today, I can bore you to tears on what a pistol shrimp is. It's actually a real creature that lives in the sea. We'll
and
talk
a
little bit about that.
Like a pistol.
Yeah, and the reason it gets that name, it's interesting, is because, first of all, it looks physically very strange from a typical shrimp because it has asymmetrical claws. It has one huge, huge claw. And the way it gets its prey is it literally has a hammer that comes up and snaps down and shoots out an air bubble.
Oh.
And you can fact check me on this. It shoots out an air bubble that goes 62 miles an hour, and there's a cavitation bubble that snaps down behind it. It stuns its prey. And
that's how they get them.
That's how they get them.
So it's both a baseball team name and a crash course in marine biology.
Correct.
And excellent. I like that.
And I'm hoping if anyone from the Shedd Aquarium is listening in, they can help us out and verify some of the pistol shrimp knowledge.
Well, bring some shrimp up here for us.
Well, I don't know. Do you eat the pistol shrimp? Because it seems like they just want to go out and have a wonderful season of baseball in their inaugural season.
Yes, it's our inaugural season, and we're really excited about it. The feedback from the fan base has been awesome. In fact, part of it, frankly, is the work of our media partners in coming up with the pistol shrimp name, because, you know, when the league said, hey, you gotta pick a name that's not trademarked by any minor or major league baseball, hockey, da 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 da.
Nobody's going to protest
No one's going to protest against
did
it.
Did you have a PC panel? Like,
we did. So
Yeah.
If you're bad, a bunch of people show up in shrimp costumes protesting. You're making shrimp look bad.
Yeah. So, you know, and with all due respect to the Wildcats and the Huskies, there's enough of those that we felt were out there. So in our polling with kids and folks that we think are going to come to the game, that just overwhelmingly continued to pull better and better. So once we wrapped on a name, got a stadium, then it's a matter of putting a roster together and going from there. So
this is by the way, we're talking to John. How do I say your last name? Jackimick?
That's really well done. Jackimick, yes. That's how I was taught to pronounce it growing up anyway.
You seem almost dumbfounded by someone getting close. And by the way, the listeners are like, wow, Patty was just complimented for getting close to a name. I often get names horribly wrong.
You nailed it. When I first got married, my wife and I were off on our honeymoon for the first time at the airport. And when the page went, calling Ann. And then there's that pause. She stood up and looked at me and said, "This is my name for the rest of my life, isn't
boy.
It?"
So, yeah.
But you did a great job.
You get a lot of variations.
Thank you, Patty.
I paused right before and went, "How would I want to hear this name?"
It's funny when your wife goes, "How do we say our name again?"
Yeah, she committed to that.
She did.
And is she also a baseball fan?
Yes, she is, actually. I would say she's growing it. Yeah, it absolutely helps.
Yeah.
It absolutely helps.
So you grew up, I'm guessing, loving baseball. Did you ever think that you would be in a position where you'd be coaching and owning your own team?
No and no. You're right. I grew up loving baseball. I grew up in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
My dad was a high school baseball coach. I played baseball all through high school. I actually was recruited to play football in college. So I played football in college, went out for the baseball team at Dartmouth College. And in those days, Dartmouth had a really, really good baseball team. Guys, Mike Remlinger, who pitched for the Cubs, is a good friend of mine. In fact, Mike's the reason I don't play baseball, because I got in a batting cage against Mike, and, you know, it was game over. No, so then it's like, I got to call my dad and let him know my baseball career is over. Thank you, Mike Remlinger.
Couldn't just lay down a bunt, you know, just stick the bat out there just to build your confidence up, you know.
But I loved baseball. Mm-hmm. Had a great time while I was playing it. But when I got out of baseball and had my own kids, started doing what a lot of dads do, coaching Little League when it's time to give back. And then through that, started coaching high school baseball, travel baseball, and really, really enjoy coaching and player development and the in-game competitiveness and really helping guys that want to play at the next level, whether it's making a Little League All-Star team or making a high school team, to help baseball players reach their goals.
We are hanging out with the coach and owner of the DuPage Pistol Shrimp. It's a Benedictine University, and that's where you guys play, is at the sports complex over there.
Correct.
So you collaborate. Are you part of Benedictine University, or?
We're not. We're using the Benedictine Lyle Sports Complex. We're running that for our home stadium. The Prospect League, all the games are played at night except weekend games. So where we're located, that's a stadium that has lights, so we can do all of our crazy
Catholic
promos.
Right?
Yes.
Yep.
It'd be funny if you had like a priest on first base, like coaching first base. You got a monk behind home plate calling balls.
Sometimes we wish priests were involved.
We got to pre-screen our batting practice playlist with the university before we hit the play button.
Yeah.
Now, and you also have some sponsorship involved. So you've got some companies around the area that are getting behind, because there's something about spring and summer when you get that you know, the bases out there, you're out on the field, the smell of the fresh cut grass. So a lot of companies want to get involved, don't they?
A lot of companies have gotten involved. We definitely have room for more. We've got a couple of great sponsors. Home Run Inn stepped up very early on to support us, and that's been awesome.
Mojo's shrimp place.
Mojo's East Coast Eats is coming up with a pistol shrimp sandwich for us. So it's the response from the community, Patty, has been awesome. Whether it's small businesses all the way on up to the big companies like Home Run Inn. And it goes a long way to helping us, because these are all amateur players, so they can't get paid or they lose their amateur status. We put them up with host families. But the schedule itself is we're playing 60 games in 70 days.
Wow.
So we're on buses. We're on buses a lot. Exactly.
Wow.
So. I know. Rocky and I just did the numbers in our head. Okay, if we were in DeSmet, Iowa, and then we had to be in Aberdeen, South Dakota, what route would we take?
We did,
if
when we, I did why not? Yeah. Comic Standing, we did, it was a 3-month tour. I think we did, I don't know, like 78 cities in 90 yeah. or something. It was brutal.
Yeah.
That's rough.
The Pistol, yeah, it's a grind. The Pistol Shrimp, they're playing 60 games beginning May 30th through mid-August. You can go to DuPage, hold on a second, you can go to DuPagePistolShrimp.com for ticket information and find out more about their games, or if you want to sponsor, want to help out. It's a great way to enjoy the summer, go out and watch a game. We'll talk more with our friend John from the DuPage Pistol Shrimp when we come back.
Yeah.
Rocky Laporte in studio with us as well, and we'll find out more about the great games in DuPage and the show that Rocky and I have coming up. The senator was supposed to hang out with us tonight, and I think you intimidated him. He's been doing a lot of bad dad jokes online.
What?
And then he started watching your videos. He's like, maybe I should stop. I should stop doing that. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show, 720 WGN. And the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to get used by. You know, Rocky, it's a shame when people who aren't even behind a microphone want to tease me about my appalling lack of musical knowledge. John Harris is in studio, a wonderful friend of the show. And a friend of mine who knows that I have an appalling lack of musical knowledge. You're not familiar with this situation, are you?
You told me the last time. Last time, you were telling me that.
He just goes out. He goes, "Hey, Patty, this is Eurythmics," and of course, I have to show that I wasn't completely in the dark and say, "You're right, Annie Lennox."
Hello, look at that.
Boom.
That's good. Right.
I'm right maybe 1 out of 20 times. That's
Who's in the Archies? Name one person in the Archies.
In the Archies?
Yeah, you got to know that one.
Who are the Archies?
Oh no.
I will tell you that. Well, how about this, gentlemen?
Start easy.
My friends in studio. We have in studio the owner and coach for the Pistol Shrimp. We have John, and tell us your name because I'm not going to get it right the second time.
Jackamick.
John Jackamick is in studio with us, and Rocky Laporte, who's performing on Thursday at the Greenhouse Theater, along with Dwayne Kennedy and me. It's a fundraiser for Child Surf. So, name the five immortals to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
The five what?
Immortals. The first five that were inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Babe Ruth.
Uh-huh.
Ty Cobb.
Yes.
Hank Greenberg.
No. No. There's,
Lou
he's like,
Garrett.
He's like, Honus Wagner. Honus Wagner.
Garrett.
Say Honus Wagner. Maybe Christy Mathis.
I was told there would be no math.
Walter Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah. Annie Lennox.
Yeah, it's funny because one night I had a listener text and they couldn't believe that I could name all of the Chicago Black Sox. So I grew up in a household where like baseball was my dad had this baseball Bible and knew every stat, every player. I mean, the Delahanties all the way back to the 1890s. So I grew up loving baseball. Also as a girl, knowing that I was, you know, I could play for fun. And I love that you have the Pistol Shrimp. You give these guys an opportunity when the season's over in college. They can still play all summer. They can keep their skills up. They can be seen by maybe some of the, you know, the scouts.
Not maybe. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact,
most
of the guys, well, the average attendance in the league is 1,100 people a game. So for most of the college kids, those are bigger crowds than they'll ever play in college unless they're
more than the White Sox
really make
more than we get.
Yeah. Deep into the playoffs. So,
yeah.
But speaking to your upbringing with baseball, even though we play out of Benedictine, which is a very modern facility, the bulk of the teams in the Prospect League really play in older, back-in-the-day stadiums. You know,
right.
Danville
yeah.
and Hannibal and a lot of great old kind of one-horse town where the whole town comes out to support the baseball team. So,
well, and that's the thing. Old-time baseball was year-round. You know, there was that's where they had the barnstormers,
yeah.
Right? You had to, you know, keep it was a way for the big names to get out there and keep playing and also draw out the crowds and keep the excitement going for baseball. I mean, that's really what we're all trying to do is, you know, not just hold on to the glory of what's so great about the sport, but, you know, keep the energy going.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And so where are these guys coming from? All over the country, all over the world. What do we got?
Yeah, they come from really all over the country. The way we structured the team by design is the roster size is 32. So the idea was let's try and find at least half of our roster from kids that are from the Chicago area, whether they still play at, you know, we've got a couple of kids from Benedictine and North Central College in that area, but we also have a lot of kids that are from the area but play on other programs, other programs around the country. And then the other half of the roster are kids really from all over the country. We've got, you know, kids from Grambling State, Richmond, University of San Diego, San Jose State. So they really come from all over the place to do it.
The first time I played baseball, I got two hits. I got hit in the leg and I got hit in the head. Hey, good night.
When my dad taught me how to crowd the plate and lean in because
really?
I couldn't get a hit. Yeah, yeah. It's when they start throwing harder in Pony League. You go, you know what? I'm gonna learn how to swing this bat over here, this thing. Tell us why it's the wood bat league rather than, we've been talking about this week, actually, when it comes to softball and using only wooden bats.
Yeah, the reason it's done in the summertime is because the players that play in these leagues have aspirations beyond college. So if they're going to be seen by pro scouts, pros like to evaluate them with the tools and equipment that they're going to use at the next level.
Yeah.
And it works well for the pitchers as well, right? Pitchers that like to pitch inside with today's composite bats, a lot of those jam shots still end up resulting in hits. But you put wood in a player's hand, it's a broken bat or a shattered bat or weak ground ball. So it's more of a reflection of what they think they will project at the next level.
Well, the Sammy Sosa cork bat. Right? Remember that?
Mike Remlinger saves it. Mike Remlinger has that bat. Grab that bat. Yes. Yes.
Smart guy.
Yes.
Grab that.
Holy cow.
I do love this. So we were talking earlier about where the name comes from. The pistol shrimp, which is the world's deadliest animal.
That is correct.
And they fire a super hot bubble bullet from the massive claw to stun its prey. So
I like popcorn shrimp. Is that anything similar?
How about the bang bang shrimp?
Is there shotgun shrimp? Since they have pistol?
No. They're small, right?
Yeah.
And they're the loudest animal in the ocean that can, with the beluga whale.
Wow, really?
And again, I'm telling you, eight months ago, I didn't know any of this stuff. But once we got the name, I fast-forwarded on my knowledge on the pistol shrimp.
Big whale's going by telling the shrimp, keep it down. Like, he's real loud. You know, hey, keep it down.
Do you mind staying for one more segment? I want to talk more baseball with you, if you don't mind.
And I'll go rock trivia as well. I'd love to stay. Thank you.
I will not. John, the coach and owner of the DuPage Pistol Shrimp. You can go to Pistol Shrimp, DuPagePistolShrimp.com for ticket information and for all where the stadium is. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. The park is right over there at Benedictine University at the corner of Maple Avenue and College Road, which is easy to reach by Interstate 355 or by, you know, the I-88. Is that the Ronald Reagan? We'll talk about more of that when we come back on 720 WGN. There's a comedy performance. John, do you want to say something else? Come back in. I always say that people always want to say one last thing before they leave. Yes, John? Oh, merch and everything? Oh, thank you.
Oh, nice.
I always like some merch. I'll take some
sweat. Do you
leave
any shrimp?
I don't know if we're supposed to eat the shrimp because they're ball players.
Oh, okay.
They're going to get teased a little bit, don't you think? By other ball players.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get teased, John, just so you, hey, I mean, you know, the only team that I got to pick a name for, and this is so, I can't believe they let a bunch of teenage girls pick their own team name, and they were like, yeah, it sounds good. We had an all-star softball team named the Ball Busters. Oh, no. What?
I was on a softball team called the Meatballs.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about softball teams, to come up with these names. Yeah,
yeah, whatever you want. And you know what, those guys that are playing them, they're going to go, we got beat by the shrimp. Like, nobody's going to want, right?
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah, I it's funny because he mentioned on the way out that I might have a chance to throw out the first pitch, which I got really excited about. But then I got really nervous. I'm like, I haven't thrown in a while. Like, I called Justin Kaufman's show last week.
You beamed the guy in the head.
Exactly. Well, the catcher presumably has his equipment on. I was listening last week before my show. I was in Los Angeles, and I heard Justin Kaufman talking about how he's trying to recruit all these people onto the WGN Softball League, right? And I thought, well,
Why hasn't he called me? I mean, do you not follow me on Facebook? Do you not see all the years? And then
the arm on this.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I started thinking about how good I used to be, and I realized, what if I suck now? I mean, I was good when I was 16. Yeah. It's been a bit.
Did you ever play on any of those stand up comics?
I know had a softball league.
Yeah, that was so much fun to have so many screwballs out there. You know, it was there was a guy named Ira Novos that I don't know. You remember him?
He
played the keyboards, and he used to bring this like little electronic keyboard out to the game, and he'd play everybody up like when we're batting.
Oh, is that fun?
Yeah, he'd play like Godfather music or the theme from Rocky when I came up to bat, and anyone who came up to bat would just he'd play them on.
Oh, that's wonderful!
It was so much fun.
Yeah, I came along in comedy after all that ended. I hope it's not my fault. See, that's the thing. Maybe I destroy softball leagues. I make everybody feel bad. They're like, well, we don't want to have to deal with Patty anymore. She keeps asking to play.
And Chicago was the only one with the remember 16 inch. Everybody else plays 12 inch would admit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell all the Chicago softball players, their fingers were broke. You remember that? Like, crooked fingers.
That's the other problem is that the softball league that they're, the media softball league is 16 inch. Is Chicago the only place people really play 16 inch?
I think so.
I like having my mitt.
You know?
They told me I can't use my. Well, I played 12 inch hardball.
Oh, okay.
My whole life.
Skip Gripparis was the only guy that had a mitt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not knocking him, but.
No,
he's probably smart, you know.
Yeah, you'd have to use a big mitt for that thing, though, for a 16-inch ball. You have to use, like, a first baseman's glove.
Yeah. Usually the mitt went flying with the ball.
Yeah, like, it would rip it right off your hand. What have you been up to, Rocky?
Mowing my lawn.
Mowing your lawn in between the rain?
Actually, I've been on the road the last 7 weekends, so I'm kind of beat.
Are you home for a little bit or no?
I got to work Thursday with Patty. We're doing a gig Thursday.
Yeah, but it's in town. It's in town.
Yeah, no, I'm so happy. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a blast. Have you seen Dwayne in a while?
No, it'll be good to see Dwayne again, too. Yeah. I haven't seen him in probably about a year, you know?
Yeah.
I actually went on an audition. You were in L.A. When were you in L.A.?
I was in L.A. last week, for about 10 days.
Oh, yeah. I was there the week before. I had an audition.
Cool. How did it go?
It went pretty good. It was. I never did animation before. It was like a voiceover for animation.
Yeah, how is that not happening every week for you, auditions like that? You should be a voice.
You know what? Everybody's... I don't know. I think I got to get a voiceover agent or whatever.
Me too.
You know, because, you know, right?
We
were good there.
But they called you out to do an audition for a cartoon?
And it went good.
Yeah.
It's actually a movie, I think, coming out.
Wonderful.
It's a movie, and I think it's going to be like a pretty big movie, like a, you know, maybe like a Lion King or something like that.
Okay.
And it was for, I don't know yet.
Where was the audition?
In Los Angeles. It was in Burbank.
In Burbank. Can't you tell me the studio?
No, you know what? It was just some little funky recording studio.
Was it really an audition? It wasn't like a... Hey, come in this little dark room, Larry.
No. But I never did animation like that before. Like, you go, like, in a soundproof studio, and you had the headphones on, and your script's in front of you, and then they have the thing showing on the screen, and you got to try and kind of sync,
right?
You know, your voice with what's happening. And I was like, it was just a different
experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have a director telling you, like, do it this way, try it that way? How did that go?
It went pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to pick up. You know, here's the thing, though, about L.A. Here's my whole issue. Like, they go, we love you. You know, like, we're big, you know, Patty fans. And then you get out there and they go, hey, can you do it this way? Like, can you sound a little bit like, you know, like, they want you to sound like whatever, like Ray Romano.
Or Sylvester Stallone or something. They wanted you to sound more Italian, didn't they?
No, you know what? No, like more mopey. Can you sound like a little mopey like Ray Romano? But I guess they want you because they don't want to pay Ray Romano all that money.
I was going to say, hold on a second. Let's talk about this when we come back because I was listening to a couple comics talking about types. Once you're a type, like if you're like, for me, it was the Tina Fey sort of run where they were like, we want a Tina Fey type or we want an Amy Poehler. Let's talk about that when we come back too. Okay. Take a break. We're hanging out with comedian Rocky Laporte. We're performing at the Greenhouse Theater this Thursday night. It's a fundraiser for ChildServe. You know, you want to come out and hang out with us as well as Dwayne Cameron Kennedy. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Joining me is comedian Rocky Laporte. And we both just got back from Los Angeles. You were in Los Angeles for a few days.
Yeah.
Do you like L.A.?
No.
Me neither. I love LA.
She's yeah? gonna go, she
oh my
LA.
God, my boyfriend's going to be so proud of me right now.
Where's he at out there?
He lives in Downey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I lived out there 14 years, but.
Yeah. Well, you went there after, when you started doing comedy to pursue your dreams?
Mm-hmm. I think.
That's what I was told. Yeah. I was told I needed to do this yeah. part of it.
That's how it happened.
Well, okay. So I was listening to, we were talking before the break about types. When I was starting out, in particular, it was Janine Garofalo first. They were like, we want a Janine Garofalo type. So everyone was supposed to be like Janine Garofalo. Yeah. But there's a reason why Janine Garofalo gets paid that kind of money. It's because she's achieved that level.
She's Janine Garofalo.
Yeah. Or Tina Fey. So that everyone, you'd go to an audition, you'd see all these brunettes with, you know, horn-rimmed glasses.
I know. I know. Johnny Carson said, he goes, if life was fair, he goes, Elvis would be alive and all the impersonators would be dead.
Yeah, it just always, and you mentioned that when you were auditioning for this animated film, they wanted you to sound more like Ray Romano, but they just didn't want to pay for Ray Romano.
Yeah,
so
they were looking for a cheap Ray Romano. Can you do it for like a 20th of what we'd have to pay him?
Oh, man. Do you get that a lot? Do you get like, you sound like so-and-so? Like,
yeah, they'll say Stallone, or sometimes they go, you remind me of Rodney Dangerfield or whatever. You know, you always get a... But, like, I don't know why people compare. But you know what? I think I'm a specific type. You know what I mean?
It's yes.
It's like, you know how, like, John Wayne, or even, like, Stallone or, you know, Schwartz, like, they are who they are. They're like,
yeah.
Why would you get, like, John Wayne and go, hey, what if you're going to be, like, a ballerina, you're going to teach a ballerina in this movie? You're like, what are you, nuts? Like, this is what I am.
Can you imagine anybody who had to go for an audition and they said, be like John Wayne? I mean, how do you do that? It's just one. There's just that person.
But you know Hollywood did that,
yeah,
right? You know they did that and time again.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody who ever rose to the top like trying to be John Wayne.
Clint Eastwood was a good cowboy, but he wasn't like that John Wayne. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had a couple good cowboys, but no, you know, John Wayne was John Wayne, you know, and...
Yeah, no, you're right. I just saw a movie. I didn't see the whole movie. It was an in-flight movie of The Mule. And the worst thing about being watching a movie in flight is if it ends before the flight is over, now I got to figure out some way to see how it ends. And now I don't know. It seems kind of worth it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Did you fly out to Los Angeles? Yeah, you did. Obviously. Yeah. It's a 4-hour flight.
And I just flew like the 5 weeks before that. Like, I was on a plane, you know, and I was just like, and it was supposed to be my week off, and I was looking forward to it. And they go, nope.
Time to go back out.
Yeah. But, well, maybe, you know.
Yeah, please.
It'd end up good.
Everyone put the good juju out for Rocky Laporte to get this part in this animated film.
Okay, I just did my part.
You did your part?
Yeah.
Yep.
Excellent.
Right, good.
good vibes. Good vibes for Rocky Laporte.
What that movie, Patty, with, why can't I think of the name? It's like a real famous, mushy girl where the guy, I know this ain't even making no sense.
We're tracking.
I'm trying to follow.
It was The Something.
It's not helping.
It's like trivia.
I wish it did.
Did you see the mushy girl movie with the guy?
Yeah.
And it's called The Something.
Yeah.
Do you have a thing you got to give?
One of the actors' names, maybe?
Yeah.
Or when it came out?
Ryan Gosling, maybe?
Oh, The Notebook?
The Notebook.
The Notebook.
Oh, that's not Something. There's nothing.
The Something.
Oh, I thought you meant Something, meaning like it was part of the title.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Yeah, like The. I meant The.
The is in the title.
You could have said Blink.
No. We wouldn't be good
at
charades. It's a movie.
Sounds like two words.
There you go. I mean, listen, it would have helped out. I'm sorry, guys.
You don't apologize. It was a terrible description.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It was on Rocky. That's on the guy with the thing. He's got hair. Okay. And he wrote some
brown eyes.
Well, the reason I thought about that, because when you said about the airplane, the show in the movie, I saw that movie for the first time, The Notebook, on an airplane.
Okay. And you wanted to walk out? Yeah.
No, but end of the flight, the whole plane was crying. The flight attendant was walking down the aisle with
crying.
Kleenex. Yeah, everybody was like taking Kleenex and they're bawling.
I was part of that group.
Yeah.
It was so sad. Are you kidding? It's such a good movie.
Nick D was telling a similar story about a movie, and I've never seen it, so I couldn't help him out. With Owen Wilson, and there's a dog.
Oh, my God. Marley and Me.
Marley and Me.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
How come you get hers right away, but you don't get my hint?
Because she explained it perfectly.
She named at least one actor.
She mentioned Owen Wilson.
And a dog. Okay. And there's crying, apparently.
I'm not good at that. Yeah.
That was a point for Patty.
I get a ding. And Nick said the same thing. I think he was flying to Ireland, and everyone has this movie on, and they're all just crying on the flight.
Oh, I bawled.
They're like landing in the happiest place on earth.
For days.
For Marley and Me?
Yeah, it was such a sad movie, because it's a dog, and... I'm thinking about it right now. I want to cry.
Well, we were talking about this one night, movies that make you cry. And I think maybe we should go the other way. What are the movies that really make you laugh? Because I just came from a wonderful production of Next to Normal at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. It's emotional, though. It's an emotional roller coaster. It's an incredible play about family. And But tonight after the show, I need to go home and just laugh at something.
Yeah.
What still, Rocky is a comedian, what still makes you laugh? Like a lot of comics, like maybe like Jerk, you know, with Steve Martin. Maybe they like
Napoleon
Blazing Saddles.
Dynamite was kind of funny.
You know, that's come up in my queue. I've never seen Napoleon Dynamite.
Really?
You recommend that?
Yeah, it's silly funny. It's like, yeah, you'll laugh.
All right, that's one I've never seen.
Step Brothers.
I've never seen Step Brothers.
Love Step Brothers.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so funny.
I like Anchorman.
Anchorman, one of my favorites.
Okay, that's a good one.
Super Dave Osborne made me laugh. I don't know why.
The Mask with Jim Carrey.
The Mask.
The Mask.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Jim Carrey movies.
He's really good. That's a good point. 3-1-2. Any Tom Hanks movie?
I love Tom Hanks.
So what is he like? You like Big?
All his movies.
All?
I think. All, yeah.
You're so sweet.
Forrest Gump.
Right? No?
I mean, yeah. No, I agree. I love Tom Hanks.
312-981-7200. What's your go-to laugh out loud? Doesn't matter if you've seen the jokes every single time. What's your favorite comedy? 312-981-7200. I need somebody to go home and laugh. Because the other problem, Rocky, is I binge watch all these shows, but there aren't really a lot of funny, ha-ha laugh out loud bingeable shows. I mean, there's some good stuff like Afterlife with Ricky Gervais.
Never watched
but that. It's heavy. I mean, he's grieving, but it's funny because he doesn't care anymore, so he just says whatever he's thinking. He's very honest. Like the Band-Aid's been ripped off and he's an open wound. And
that's
basically
interesting.
It is. It's good.
Yeah.
But a lot of people like The Good Place. I enjoyed it. Maybe I should go back and try that. But movies, because then it's only, I don't have to invest. Do you binge anything, Rocky? Do you ever sit down and next thing you know, it's 8 hours later and you've watched an entire season of
The Office?
Yeah, yeah, but I like that, no? Like when I'm off?
Yeah.
Have you watched The Office?
No. Is it good? Oh, some
so
of it.
So good. Yeah, Steve Carell is amazing.
Is it? It's hard for me to watch some comedies. Like The Office is something I can't get into either.
Yeah.
It's easy to get into. Just watch the first episode. You'll be hooked.
I think it's for Rocky and I, sometimes it's a occupational hazard. Do you ever do that where you see like a comic on a show? You're like, really? That guy just opened for me. Okay, Rocky, seriously, is there a comic that's hit that you're like, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
And Hannibal knows. Stretch Hannibal Burris used to be my opening act. And I've told this story on the air before. He and I worked together quite a bit because we were good, you know, but he was my opening act. He was the feature act.
Wow.
And he's got that sort of low energy, you know, he's got that dry sense of humor. And I'm like, hey, everybody, let's have a good time. And we actually did a press conference together for the Just for Laughs when we did it in Chicago, and we were doing a show together, and they had two microphones, so we were at the press conference taking all and Hannibal wasn't answering any questions, so I would like try to like divert, because you've met him, he's low key, he's real low energy. So the boys were, I want to say they were 3 and 5, and Declan had therapy 5 days a week at home. And these are the stories you can't explain to somebody on the phone when they ask you a favor, because it's like, my life right now is too hard, I can't help you. So Hannibal calls me, and he was my opening act, and he goes, he asked me for a ride to the club. And see, Rocky, can you explain why that's funny? Can you explain?
Come on, man. Yeah, you know? Like, really?
It's really hard to explain to people who aren't in the industry of busting your ass and getting to be a headliner and to have the feature act call you and ask for... Can you
even have your own car, right? Like, you don't even have your own car? Like, how are you supposed to get... Right? And...
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and it's hard. No, I can't explain it to you, but the 40 minutes from my house to the club was the only 40 minutes I had to myself, where I wasn't opening the door 5 days a week to a therapist or trying to, you know, change Declan's diaper or give him his medication or hope that he could walk or, like, it was right at that time, and Hannibal Buress asked me for a ride to the club, and I was like, it's just my 40 minutes to, like, get my act in my head.
And yeah, I was like, you need that space.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't give you a ride. I don't know how he got to the club every night, but that's why Hannibal Buress doesn't talk to me anymore.
One time, I'm in a bar. This was a while ago. It was a kind of like a little bit of a rough bar. It was in San Bernardino, California.
Yeah.
And the kid that opened for me, he was this young kid. He had a guitar, and I'm like, oh, they're going to eat this kid up. It was Jimmy Fallon.
What?
Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, and he won him over. He's doing Bob Dylan. And,
no way.
And he looked like he was 10 at the time.
Yeah.
Like he still looks young. But at the time, this was like, you know, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. And then another time I was working at Catch a Rising Star in Princeton, New Jersey. And the guy on before me goes, yeah, I got an audition this week for Saturday Night Live. He goes, they like my Christopher Walken impression. And it was Jay Moore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
wow.
So, yeah. A lot of people pass me up.
Yeah, no, me too. Me too. Cameron Esposito used to be on my showcase. Vanessa Bayer was a regular on my show at the Funny Females at Zany's. Yeah.
Taylor Williamson, he was opening for me. He was emceeing at some casino out in California. And then he got on America's Got Talent.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. TJ Miller was my MC. And then I was like, I should keep in touch with this kid. He's really funny. He came up to me and talked to me and, you know, told me what he liked about my set. And I was like, I should, you know, keep in touch. And then, of course, he then shot Cloverfield. He was in Silicon Valley. And he's also the mucus in the mucus commercial. So, you know,
the mucus commercial.
You ever seen the commercial where mucus can talk?
Yeah,
that's TJ Miller. We are getting a bunch of texts about folks' favorite comedies. Movies like Dirty Work with Norm Macdonald, Keep Me in Tears, and Keep Me in Tears from Laughing. That's Glenn. The original, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. I've never seen that one.
Saw it a couple months ago. Yeah, that's a classic.
Eddie Murphy's Delirious, which, okay, yes, it's funny, but I don't know if I can go back and watch stand-up comedy anymore. Can you go back and watch? Like, Delirious was the one he did in the red leather pants.
Yeah.
And he talks about it, Welfare Burgers. Remember, he's like, everybody else is having hamburgers, and he's got this big meatball.
Yeah.
To mash it down.
Yeah.
And the ambulances, a lot of that doesn't age well, does it? Because he was talking about the ambulances in San Francisco. They just put somebody on top and go, woo! Pull over.
And his aunt falling down the stairs, remember?
See, we know the whole thing. More after this on 720 WGN. Let us know, what are your favorite funny movies? 312-981-7200. Or do you remember any of the stand-up comics that you've seen at Zany's or at the Laugh Factory that are now famous? I bet you a lot of people don't. I opened for Kevin Hart.
Oh, did you?
And really? I didn't remember until I was in Los Angeles and I was shaking his hand and I was like, oh, I remember you, because he's a little fella. More after this on 720 WGN. We are getting some messages to the live text screen. You can also text us anytime, 312-981-7200. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, hanging out with comedian Rocky Laporte. We'll be on stage Thursday night at the Greenhouse Theater along with Dwayne Kennedy. It's a fundraiser for ChildServe. It's Stand Up for Children. You're going to love these folks. I was just telling you that off the air.
Yeah,
it was really fun.
Patty.
And Senator Katowski is going to start out, you know, having a conversation with the audience, why this is so important.
He's opening for us. He's opening
for us. And
another
then
guy
I
that passed this up.
And then he's been posting a lot of his dad jokes, and I feel so bad because I love corny jokes. I love puns.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun.
It's some clever stuff. And we were talking about movies that we enjoy. Here's one I haven't seen in a while. I crack up and still do if I watch Home Alone.
Yeah.
But here's one I haven't seen for a while. What About Bob?
Remember
with Richard Dreyfuss and Bill Murray?
Yeah,
that's a good movie. That's a very good one. Thank you, Rod. The 224 says, you have to watch It's a Mad, Mad World. Thanks for reminding me of that. Checking on demand tomorrow. Also, The Wizard of Oz. It's not a comedy, but a great classic. But you know what? You know what it is? It's comfort food.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's ice cream.
I think that's what I've been looking for when I binge watch stuff is like,
I'll enjoy something, and then once it's over, I need more of that. I need to keep filling that need. Like, there's S Creek, which I can't say the name of. Have you watched?
Yeah, I love that show.
It's so rocking.
But I haven't watched the new season.
The new season. So it's available now on Netflix.
Okay, good.
This is the Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, Dan Levy, Eugene Levy's son. It's a series about this outrageously wealthy family that loses everything. Because of their financial, it's always a financial manager,
a business partner.
Mm-hmm. And they end up having to move to this town that they had bought as a joke because it's called S Creek, but it's I always hesitate when someone says, well, you got to watch at least the first three or four episodes to get it or to like it. It's not just that. It does take a little bit of time, but I also think the fourth season and probably the fifth season.
You'll get it by the fourth season.
No.
You'll start liking it. Give it 4 years.
Once you've invested about 30 hours, I was going to say...
Give it some time.
I would say that the fourth and fifth season are some of the most beautifully done television that I've ever watched.
Really?
With the comedy, with the absurdity of it. There's a relationship in the series between Patrick and David that is exquisite. That's the only way I could put it. It is gut wrenching to me how well they do this romance.
Wow!
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And okay, so this is something I've hesitated to talk about because I don't feel like I articulate it very well. So bear with me.
Okay.
I have always loved romance stories. I grew up on Happy Valley High. This is something.
Yeah, you told me yesterday with your diary.
Yes, I have my. I brought my diary. I think it's in my bag. I found my diary from when I was 13 years old. I was boy crazy. I loved romance. I always wanted to have a boyfriend when I was in grade school and high school. And so whenever I watch movies, you've seen a movie where like, it seems romantic and they got that tension. You're like, kiss her. Yeah. Do you ever have that moment?
Yeah.
I have always appreciated and enjoyed movies regardless of who the couples are in the movie. Meaning that the first time I saw a same-sex kiss, I think was, if I remember correctly, when I was a kid, was 30-something. And I was like, oh, yeah, they're kissing, right? Wasn't it whatever, right? And there are a lot of romances that I don't react to. And I'm like, oh, they got to get together. This is the first time I've ever been this emotionally invested in a same-sex relationship. Just two guys. And I'm like, I want to be in this relationship.
That's
which
funny.
I don't mean like it's a three-way.
Yeah.
But I can either one of them.
Is
I can
that bad? Be,
but there's both so compelling and so wonderful that I just want to hang out with them. And I know they're fictional characters, but I so would love to be able to hang. I would love to be in the next booth while they're out on a date. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Quick question though for you, Patty.
Yes.
You didn't like the relationship between David and Stevie?
No, it was fine because it was fun, right? And it was comfortable.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But did you like it? Did you wish they would stay together?
I was rooting for them. Yeah, I really was.
Because they were
friends and they were, similar personalities. They were both sarcastic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked them
together. I watched the poor man version of that show. It's called Shameless.
Do you watch Shameless?
I love Shameless.
I've never been able to get through an episode because it's almost like too gritty. Is gritty a good way to put it? It's almost too like,
I was watching it since the first season.
Watched the first season with a couple of my friends and I stopped.
Really?
It was just with my friends.
Do we have to get in? Is it to take till the fourth or fifth season to get into it?
No, I liked the whole from the get-go. I liked it. And you know what's so weird? I used to do warm-up for Rosie O'Donnell's show when she was here at Oprah Studio.
Yeah.
And I think in Shameless second season, she had the whole cast on and I got to meet them all. So sometimes when you meet some and you're like, oh, and then you get interested in the show.
Absolutely.
So it was kind of cool.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah. In the series, in this, when we're talking about S Creek, I can't say the name.
I'm not allowed to.
Although David Player says it apparently at 4 a.m. What we should do is pull the audio of him saying it, so it's not me saying
it.
But
let me
push this button.
I will find the intro to that.
Yes,
to that.
Catherine.
Let's do charades again.
Pitts Creek.
Can we just spell it out?
Let's take a break and figure it out. Let me call the FCC while we're on hold. Why
winding down the last hour of the Patty Vasquez Show. Nick D takes over at 1 a.m. And joining me in studio right now is comedian Rocky Laporte. We're performing on Thursday at the Greenhouse Theater for Child Serve. Joining us will be Dwayne Kennedy. And we were talking a little bit earlier about comics that have, you know, we've worked with, some of whom have opened for us and then have gone on to the bright lights of Los Angeles or New York. And no bitterness. And the thing is that we get to acknowledge the fact that we are in an industry where we could all be doing the same job. And at some point, there are going to be those who maybe they stop doing it or get another career. And there are going to be others that might become superstars. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to predict. And it's weird that people will come up to us after a show. And it's not like musicians. When a musician has a bad show, people just kind of walk out, right? Yeah. But for us, we stand in the lobby and they got to give their 2 cents, don't they, sometimes?
Yeah, and they could be brutal. It's like you did something personal to them.
I
think when, if you're having a bad night, or sometimes there's bad audiences, you know, they're just tough.
Yeah.
And they'll just look at you like you, you know, did something to them, and that's awful. Or they'll even tell you to go, you were okay, but that other guy was funnier, or that other girl's funnier than you, or like it, right away they compare you, you know? And everybody has, they get to say who their favorite comic is or who they like and don't like. But if we did that, then it's sour grapes. Like if you go, I really don't like, and they go, well, you just, and it's not like, why can't we have an opinion?
Right. When I say if there's a comic that I just don't get why they're so popular, people are like, oh, did you see this? Do you see that? How about that special that they did? Do you watch any of the Netflix specials?
No, not really.
It's work.
My friends, maybe if a couple of my friends, like Kathleen Madigan or something like that.
I love Kathleen Madigan.
Yeah.
She's really good. I've been watching, the last couple of days have been weird. I don't know why I've been doing this lately. I can trace it. There's a new book out about Greg Giraldo.
And, is that right?
And we were friends. And I loved Greg. And so I've been watching some of his old specials, and you know, there's a lot of bits of his on YouTube. But then there was an interview he did with Opie and Anthony. Do you ever do Opie and Anthony's show?
No,
me neither. And was Jimmy Norton like one of the?
Yeah.
Because I've started listening to a few of them. They're kind of like Bob and Tom, where they have comics on all the time.
Yep.
And it was hard to listen to because he was talking about just coming off of, you know, out of trying to rehab and trying to get clean. And he actually was talking about how he knows he knew he had to stop, otherwise he was going to do it till he died. And it just, but one of the things that he mentioned, Rocky, was that he always knew that he was different. Right. Like in every room, he always knew that he was on the periphery. And it hit me that that's something that no matter where we are, we just look at things a little bit differently than people do. So it's weird that we're somewhat vulnerable to the way other people feel, and that they are so emboldened to come up to us and tell us to our face. I guess we often complain about the anonymity of, you know, social media. But when it comes to comics, people will come right up to your face and tell you that you suck.
Yeah, I know. Ain't that awful? And you have to have a thick skin. And you know the sad thing about that? We're only trying to make people, like, we're trying to bring people joy.
Right.
And then they come up and punch you in your head. Go, that wasn't, you know what I mean? It's like we're trying to give them a gift. And, you know, if you have an, like, you know, if you're like a telephone operator or whatever, and you have a bad day, nobody's going to be mad at you or come up and tell you you suck. We don't like your work. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, come on, man.
Well, that was the weird shift to radio, because we have, you know, we have a text screen. People can tell me what they think. And it is, it's like having someone poke you in the shoulder, like, you're doing a bad job. You're doing a bad job. You suck. You suck. You suck. You suck. You suck. Yeah, nobody.
And we're only trying to put good out there. That's the thing that bothers me. It's like, I'm trying to make people laugh. I'm not trying to hurt nobody's soul here. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm really. And, you know, you hear a lot of, like, sad cases. Like, I loved Greg. Like, he was a friend of mine. I really liked him. But, and then you hear, like a lot of these child actors, you know, like, they get success really young.
Right.
And end up being a train wreck. That's kind of why I waited till my late 40s and early 50s to kind of start hitting it and getting serious about my career.
Yeah, we don't want to peak too early.
I don't want to peak too early. I would have been on drugs. I would have been a wreck.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that, too. I was, you know, listening to Greg talk about how hard he lived in his 20s and 30s. And he actually has this in his one of his specials. He talks about how you shouldn't be allowed to drink in your 20s and 30s because you really need it when you're in your 40s and 50s and things are starting to slide. And, you know, you don't want to.
Yeah,
it's
Greg. There's a book out on him.
A book out on Greg, and they had finished
writing it, but comedian Paul Farvar was in Los Angeles, and he said, did you talk to Patty? And they didn't know who I was, and didn't, I mean, there would be no one that would have, you know, known that we used to hang out. And the only, I was so surprised that the day after Greg passed away, the phone call I got to see how I was doing was from Lewis Black. And Lewis is on the documentary about Greg, and they all talk about how smart and how dedicated he was. And I've been doing a little bit of reading about Greg, about George Carlin too. And did you see that post in Dobie Maxwell's thread? You know, he's got that Maxwell. Somebody, I guess, used to be like a roadie or like a sort of assistant manager for George Carlin. And he talks about how he used to carry around all these notebooks. And I thought, well, that's what we do. It's just kind of funny. I mean, I bet you have at least one or two notebooks tucked away.
About 10.
Like with you on you, though. We always have pens. Did you see me like digging through my purse? I was trying to find a pen. I'm always looking for a pen or piece
napkins,
of paper.
You got jokes, right? From right wherever they come to you, right?
Like exactly. Yeah, we're always thinking about stuff. But that's what I was thinking about when Greg mentioned that he always felt like he was on the periphery. We're always thinking of something else. And it's hard to explain to people how we're trying to think of how we can fit this into something else, or how is this the joke I can tell?
Even if it's dark, it's funny. Yeah. Right? Like we have I think people don't know how dark our sense of humor is, but that's, I don't know, maybe that's where we find our light, you know? Not that it's bad, it's just different.
A stress relief.
Yeah, where the public wouldn't accept it, you know? Right?
Some of the things I've heard in green rooms, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
That's where the funnier stuff can be sometimes.
Yeah.
From the 847, we were also talking about movies that cheer you up or that make you laugh no matter how many times you see them. They say that one of my favorite movies is Airplane and all the Naked Gun movies. And all Animal House.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Animal House.
It's a good one. Oh, Ruthless People with Bette Midler and Danny DeVito. Also very good. This is great. We were actually going to watch this the other night, and I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. Have you ever seen the Cary Grant movie, Arsenic and Old Lace?
Oh, yeah, I don't, maybe, I think years, that's a old movie.
It's from the 40s. From the 40s. Vivian, have you ever seen Arsenic and Old Lace?
I have not.
It is a really funny movie. It's very, very dark. I don't even want to tell you the premise because you'll just be waiting for it.
I remember. I think I know.
It's
okay.
It's a comedy?
It is totally a comedy. But it's dark. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, here's a funny movie, but I can't think of the name. Vivian, you want to help me out?
I'll try.
I'm sorry. Yes. It was about these three. It came out a couple years ago.
Three Amigos.
It's funny.
I'm kidding.
But it was about these three old guys that robbed a bank with Morgan Freeman.
It's a
remake.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
The Sunshine Boys. Isn't this?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's a funny movie, right?
Wait, but I will find it.
The original
right now
has George Burns, who I think was also in Sunshine Boys.
Yeah.
Wait, let me see. George. Let's see who gets it first. George. It's going to bother me now. Someone text us really quick.
It ain't with George Burns, though. Really.
The remake is.
Morgan Freeman.
The remake is with Morgan Freeman. Let me see if I can find it. It's not. Oh God, no, the Sunshine Boys. No. Maybe I'm wrong about
three guys robbing a bank.
The old guys. Oh, listen to the furious clicking of the keyboard. Hold on, George Burns, bank robbery. I'm going for the original.
Oh no, that was
going in style.
It is
going in style.
I think it's going in style.
Yes.
Yep. Going in style.
Yeah, George Burns is in there. You should watch the original.
We stump ourselves.
The original also has, I'm not going to be able to remember. It was Carney. It's from
Carney.
Yeah, right? The Honeymooners? He's the neighbor. Carney. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, it's Art Carney and Lee Strasberg.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But the remake is with, not just with Morgan Freeman. It's quite good, actually. With isn't Alan Arkin in that one, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
I loved it. It's a great movie,
it's
right?
It's a really good movie.
Yeah, it's funny.
And it's a little dark.
And witty.
Yeah.
It's witty, too. Yeah,
I watch It's a Wonderful Life every year, and I still cry like a baby.
Aww.
But I love that movie. It makes me happy, though.
I love
that. It's like a good thing. Even though.
The In-Laws is also with Alan Arkin, with Peter Falk. You might like that one. Both of you might like it, but the original, not the remake, and The In-Laws with Alan Arkin and Peter Falk.
You know, it's a great movie a lot of people don't know about. It's called 29th Street with Danny Aiello and Anthony LaPaglia. Great movie. And it was based on a true story about the first people, when the New York Lottery was like the first time it ever came, like, you know, I think it was in the 70s. And it's a good movie. Great family movie.
In this fact-based film, happy-go-lucky Frank Pesci, played by Anthony LaPaglia, is lucky from the day of his birth when his mother gives birth to him in a different hospital than planned, only to have the first facility burned down.
And the hilarity ensues. Growing up in an Italian neighborhood in Queens, Frank's irresponsible ways and good fortune irritate his hardworking but luckless father, Frank, played by Danny Aiello. I have to look that one up.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I like that one. The Odd Couple is also a good one.
Yeah.
That one makes me laugh. Arsenic and Old Lace was what. Oh, here I'm looking at some more. Going in Style. People were, of course, typing away, trying to get me the answer. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, 312. Young Frankenstein and the Producers. A couple of Mel Brooks movies. Those are really good.
The Hangover.
The Hangover.
Yes.
I don't know if The Hangover would do it for me.
Well, I mean, the first one would. The second and third one, probably not.
Ken Jeong is actually a friend of mine, and he's a nice, and he's funny.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's a good guy, and he's a funny comic, you know?
So that was the name that came up in this interview with Patrice O'Neill. Not with Greg. I listened to another Opie and Anthony with Patrice O'Neill, mm-hmm. and there's a comic named Bobby, who's also Asian, who apparently they were always up for like the same roles, but Ken would get him all the time. Ken Jeong would get him all the time. And Bobby Lee. And Patrice says it's because Ken is just nice. And Patrice was saying that, like, you know, he had done an episode of The Office, and they were like, how come you have a big career like Craig Robinson? And this happens to us all the time, where people are like, why aren't you on TV, or why don't you have, and it's just one way or the other sometimes.
You know, my dad actually said this to me one time when I first started comedy. He goes, how come you're not on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno? He goes, tell him you're Italian. Like, that's going to get me on. Because Leno's Italian, and I'm a gay Jay. I'm Italian. Put me on your TV.
But here's the thing. You did do Jay Leno's show, and you got a standing ovation. Yeah. Was he around?
No.
Oh, man. Yeah. See, that's the thing. You know, the things that we wanted out of life, part of it was to make our parents happy.
Yeah.
You know, like, part of it was that I had wanted to be, you know, wealthy enough to buy my dream was to buy a property that had a house and like a second, like a coach house. Although now that I think about it, I wanted my parents apparently to live in this little tiny, go live in the shed. But
instead I got him a cat.
That bit of no less. More after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me.
At the end of the day, there's always something you can smile about, be happy about, be proud of. Joining me in studio is comedian Rocky Laporte. We will be at the Greenhouse Theater this Thursday night for a fundraiser, Stand Up for Children, along with Dwayne Kennedy. You're going to love these folks. They're some of my favorite people.
Good.
That
I
work
can't
for
wait,
Child Serve. They're wonderful. That is one of my something's good, is getting to hang out with Rocky and Dwayne on Thursday. And we had an incredible evening at Writers Theater in Glencoe. I saw the production of Next to Normal. It is a musical. It is a beautifully done production, and I highly recommend it.
And it's just
there's something about sitting in the dark and watching a story that, because you and I, we're in comedy clubs all the time, and we don't necessarily get a chance to take in live performances as much as maybe we should, you know, to find inspiration, like other, kind of get us out of our rut, I think, and theater can do that for you.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
You know, I knew I was doing, I was in this business too long. I don't know if I told you this last time, but when my sister passed away, you know how they go, you know, when they're doing the mass, they go, does anybody want to come up and say a couple words? Did I tell you this?
No.
Oh, so the priest goes, you know, anybody want to come up and say a couple words? And I get up there. I wasn't even thinking. I go, hey, I go, keep going for the father. Give him a nice hand. Like, he's my opening act. You know what I mean? He'll be back up here in a little bit.
That's, we have been in the business too long.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Don't forget to tip your waitstaff.
That's what I said. He's going for the father. He's doing a nice job here.
He's
going
to be opening in New Jersey for Ray Romano next week.
He's going to be doing a mass at St. Rita the next Sunday. You can catch him there.
Do you ever have that urge to applaud in church? And then when people do, you're like, are we supposed to be applauding? Or like, I at Christmas, they applauded at the end of the service. And it
really?
Yeah, it was disconcerting. From like, are we supposed to applaud? I think applauding God sounds like a great idea. Right? Yay, Jesus. Well done.
I don't get when planes land. When people clap when a plane lands, it's like, well, that's what's supposed to happen. Like, put it right.
I've done that before.
Like, we didn't crash. High five, everybody.
Only because I clapped because there was a lot of turbulence. Oh, so I was just happy.
You're clapping for calm air and earth underneath your feet.
Do you clap at the end of movies when other people like it?
Sometimes, yeah.
It's sort of it's almost more of a group experience to go. Yeah, did we all? Yeah, we all like that. We did. Okay, down the row. All right, excellent. You know, I guess people think it's corny because obviously the performers aren't there, but it's the energy of the room.
Yeah. Everybody walks out of the movie crying. that's weird and uncomfortable. Nobody looks each other in the eye.
There were two movies that my parents. My mom, when I was a little kid, we saw the movie The Color Purple, right? Mm-hmm. And she goes, that was so over. It was so emotional. Let's stay and watch it again.
Oh, is that right?
We watched it back to back. I was, you know, looking back at it now, I'm like, what a torturous. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
You don't need to see anybody getting beaten or raped again. There's a little bit of that in the movie. I'm just saying. I'm like, oh, I'm like little, like trying to understand what's happening. And then my dad, when I was a little bit older, we rented the movie Schindler's List. And he's like crying. He goes, I want to watch it again. So I don't know what's my favorite. Apparently, my parents were much more about the dramas, like wanting to keep that wound open and just how do you watch that back to back? Which we did. They asked me to, and I was like, okay, I guess we're watching this again. And I wasn't even drinking yet at that age.
Eight years old, I'm going to the bar. I can't take this no more. You guys are driving me crazy.
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
Let's watch a comedy.
The thing. I know my mother loves comedies, but for whatever reason, she wanted to stay. And I'm sure she'll hear this and explain. No, let me tell you something. It was because of the dialogue. English is not my first language. I was trying to understand. I don't know. She'll give me a reason as to why we.
And you know what? The comedies that were on when we were kids, can you imagine pitching those today? Like Hogan's Hero, like you go into an LA meeting, go, listen, it's a German concentration camp. And it's a comedy. It's a wacky comedy. The Germans are crazy. And, you know, it's like, it's Ray Adder, right? Like, get out of here.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and MASH. MASH was like a good dramedy. That had a lot of serious stuff, and it was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. Well, tell me something good, Rocky. What's your something good? What makes you happy? Hopefully not having your car towed. I'm hoping there's no ticket on your car. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? My grandkids make me happy.
Aww.
And my kids, you know, like they're, because little kids, they're like pure joy. You know what I mean? Like they don't know none of the bad junk yet about the world and, you know?
That makes
me happy.
I tried so hard. How old are the, I tried so hard to keep that from Griffin, but it is what it is. How old are the grandkids?
They're 1 to 20.
Okay.
Well, we got 11 of them.
Wow. You are.
I got a baseball team. We could.
You got an army.
We're playing the White Sox.
What's a 1 year old going to do?
Next Friday.
Oh, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Are they all in the area?
A couple are in Indiana now. Like
not too far.
But they're not too far. You know what I mean? But yeah, and that makes me happy. And I don't know. What makes you happy, Patty?
I just haven't seen you in a live production. Makes me happy today.
Yeah?
Being at the theater, that makes me happy. Being home again, being with my family. Mother's Day was wonderful. Got a lot of good stuff. And chocolate. I'm going to go home and eat some chocolate and have a glass of wine.
Wow. That's really good. Nice.
What's making you happy tonight, Viv, before we go to the break?
I am reporting for the Rubin Report this weekend for the National Restaurant Association show that's happening at the McCormick Place. So
excellent.
I get to be there and eat food and talk to people.
You've got a shrimp shirt for you. Want a shrimp shirt?
I'll wear it.
You do have a shrimp shirt.
Show that.
Take your
flash.
Shrimp shirt on your
You'll
way
fit
out.
Right in.
Beautiful. I'll take it.
They're not going to miss you. That is some bright orange. That is a good shirt. Break here, and then we'll turn it over to Nick D in just a moment. Rocky Laporte will be at the Greenhouse Theater with me on Thursday. You can follow him on social media as well. Is it better Twitter and Facebook? Are those both good to go?
Yeah. And Instagram.
Instagram. Follow Rocky.
RockyLaporte.com. My schedule's on there.
We're going to put together some shows. We're going to get some theaters.
Absolutely.
You and me.
Right?
We come up with a name for
it's
that.
It's funny. It'll be good.
It'll be good. That's what we'll call it. It'll be good.
Hey.
That's Rocky. We'll see you again very soon.